Thank you, ladies. We love the Jensens. You too, John, back there. God bless you, buddy. A dad with four daughters. Yeah, so four ladies in the home, so we're thankful. Five. Matthew 3. I want you to notice again this devastating takedown. And it really is. John the Baptist throws out against the most powerful constituency in first century Israel. It says in verse 7 these words, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Well, that's bad enough in itself. And kind of rude in some circles, of course, to call an entire group of leaders a bunch of snakes, poisonous snakes, no less. But that's not the takedown that we're referring to. Because what we're going to consider this morning is what made them into snakes in the first place. This is a disease of the soul. It is Satan's origin story. It is a poison that people drink thinking that it is tasty and healthy. It's a spiritual sickness that some people say is a, quote, 21st century ailment, which it is, except they're 21 centuries late and even more. It's defined with just one word, but it's manifested in the Bible in a multitude of ways, including in what John the Baptist says in verse 9. "And think not," he says to these same serpents, "and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father." In other words, John says, don't even think it. Don't even think in the quiet of your own mind that somehow, as, quote, sons of Abraham, you're exempt from the wrath to come. You see, folks, the word that defines this condition is entitlement. It is that belief or that feeling or that perspective that you deserve something. It is an unmerited expectation that cripples and blinds and corrupts the human heart and the human mind and the human soul. Lucifer fell precisely because he thought he was entitled to something more than what he had, and he had a lot. "Give me," the prodigal said, "that which is fallen to me. Give me what is mine." His entitlement led to his destruction, but so did his older brother's entitlement. Why did I get a feast? The rich young ruler, the wilderness Israelites, Judas Iscariot, Absalom and Rehoboam, King Saul. And obviously here in Matthew, this generation of vipers here who believe that they were born on spiritual third base. Entitlement is a debilitating, cancerous, paralyzing lie that will lead us down a path of misery, discontent, bitterness, loss, and anger. In the very next chapter, in the familiar Matthew chapter 4, how do you think that Satan is going to tempt our own Lord? Where is the devil going to aim his fiery darts? Well, he says to Jesus, "You're the Son of God. I know it. You know it. Let all the people know it. Turn these stones into bread. Let an angel save you from a fall. Take your position as the king of the earth." In other words, do all the things in your hunger and your weakness and obscurity that you are entitled to as the Son of God. In fact, before we pray, you know, there's an interesting parallel to what Satan says in chapter 4 and what John says in chapter 3. "Turn these stones into bread," the tempter said, hoping that Jesus would and thus grasp for that entitlement. And what was it John said in chapter 3, verse 9? Look at it again. "And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." In other words, not only could Jesus turn stones into bread, But for these entitled Pharisees, he could take the very rocks and stones under their sandals that day and make those dusty, lifeless, powerless, worthless pieces of gravel into the very thing they believe made them entitled. That, beloved, is the takedown I want us all to consider this morning, because it is absolutely true that this is the entitlement generation. But you'll notice the word generation is also in verse 7, reminding us that every generation, quote, thinks within themselves they deserve something, they're owed to something, they even have something they really don't. It's a disease, all right. It is a blight on our society, but the good news is there's a remedy. There is a cure for this kind of disease that kills, and that cure is the truth. Remember, every single time Satan tried to tempt Jesus, he answered with the same thing. It is written, it is written, it is written. And so, I hope you'll listen very carefully this morning as we consider the truth about entitlement and speak on the subject better than we deserve. Father, please help us. Help us in our society today, where entitlement is a virtue, where the young people in this room are flooded with messages every day that they deserve this and they deserve that, and it's only leading them and all of us and anybody who embraces it down a path of despair and destruction. Show us the truth of your word today, please, in Jesus' name, amen. When our Lord declared that ye shall know the truth and the truth shall make, not set, the truth shall make you free, he himself demonstrated that very glory when in the wilderness temptation he refused to yield to that temptation of entitlement. And what is it? What is the truth that sets all of us free from this very bondage? There's three things I want you to notice in the Bible. The first one, number one, as Christians, we are too indebted to be entitled. Let me say it again. We are too indebted, far too indebted, to ever be entitled. Look at verse 5 again. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region. Notice the words all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their what? Their sins. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. If people out of Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, if all of these people were coming and confessing that they were sinners, then why didn't the Pharisees? They're from Jerusalem. They're from Judea and all around about Jordan. Why didn't the Sadducees, why didn't the vipers see their lost condition? Were they sinless and thus perfect? Were they already clothed in righteousness? There's an image for you, a viper with a halo. No, the truth is clear, beloved. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. And their only hope is our only hope, the gospel, salvation, which for us is by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, a sacrifice. And guess what that means? It means what Paul, the chiefest of sinners, by the way, said about salvation. Remember, he looked at his testimony and he did not say, I am entitled. No, as a Pharisee even, he cried out, I am debtor. I am in debt. You know what, folks? It is hard to feel entitled when you know you're in debt. Imagine Aubrey's out on the ocean one day and he comes across a man who's clinging to a splintered piece of driftwood out at sea. The man is pale and burnt and thin and worn to a whisper. Who knows how long he's been out there? He's too weak to speak, but too stubborn to sink. And yet he's just one more sunset away from death. Aubrey pulls the man from the sea, brings him in, brings him home, where he receives sustenance and medicine and care, including the strength and friendship of a new family. And over time, it's learned that this man at sea has no family, he has no friends, but he does have a record, and he is in debt. And so Aubrey takes his own money, and he hires an attorney, and he pays the man's debts, and he gives him a room in his own house. And as the days go by, his wounds heal, and it's clear that somehow this same man that was inches from death has a zero sense of appreciation. Now, he says the right things, you know, thank you, here and there, but he eats and drinks. He leaves the leftovers here in the trash for other people to clean and to throw away. As a guest, he is loud and intrusive. He's even bossy at times. One day, without asking, he takes Aubrey's boat out, runs it aground, and just leaves it there with it. You know, sorry about that. Aubrey leaves work to go salvage the boat while the man decides he's going to take a nap out on the dock. This is a man who was rescued from drowning but demands ownership of the boat that saved him. A man who lets entitlement grow where a sense of awe should have blossomed. Now, folks, look, beside the fact that Jen would never let a stranger leave empties and leftovers everywhere in the house, can we not realize that this entire world, can we not realize that this world with its water and all of its air and food and sunlight and grace, that this is God's possession. This is, as it were, God's house. And yes, we too were rescued and atoned for and salvaged and healed and fed and protected. God even sent his son down here to die for us. So what was it again about any of us here deserving something? Feeling entitled. We want, what is it? We want fairness? Fairness? You've heard me say often that what you and I deserve is eternity in hell. Therefore, anything that's better than hell is more than we deserve. Pastor, my husband's a grouch. I know. But he's more than you deserve. Pastor, it's always cold in here. Okay. But it's more than you deserve. Matter of fact, I can truthfully say that your pastor is better than you deserve. By the way, you social media people, don't take that clip and put that on Instagram. You see that? Pastor thinks he's, that beacon guy thinks he's better than they deserve. Don't do that. Because truthfully, this church is better than I deserve. I always think about Ezra's words in Ezra 9:13. Thou hast punished us less than our iniquities. Isn't that always true? Jeremiah said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It's a good thing that his mercies are new every morning. We said, number one, we're too indebted to be entitled. Think about that next time when you think, this is not fair. I want more. I deserve more. Number two, the second truth, we're too enlightened to be entitled. What do you mean? Chapter 4, look at verse 16. The people which sat in darkness, that's us, by the way, before we knew the Lord, we all sit in darkness. There are folks in this room, you are right now, spiritually, sitting in darkness. That's a bad place to be in. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Now, folks, let's just ponder something for a minute. This generation of vipers who thought that they were entitled by their birth were also called blind guides by Jesus. In fact, Jesus also called them blind guides, blind leaders of the blind. They were in darkness. And then he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. And then he looked at his followers who believed on him. And you know what he said to them? He said, ye are the light of the world. You're the light of the world. Now, wait a minute. Think about that. A child of God has too much light, is far too enlightened by the grace of God in his word to wallow and stumble around in the darkness of entitlement. A true Christian who feels entitled, is actually an anomaly in the Bible. There's something wrong with you. If you're a believer, there's something wrong with you if you live like people owe you. Let me put it this way. The Christians at Corinth, and they were Christians, they're called saints in the very first verse. The Christians at Corinth, that's the problem child of the New Testament church. They were living carnal, selfish, covetous, fruitless lives. And when Paul points out how they were entitled bunch of babies, he uses an amazing verse. It's a verse that has a rebuke by three questions. Look at them. It says in 1 Corinthians 4:7, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what house that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" Now wait a minute, think about that. Question number one, you can see it there. Who made thee to differ from another? Yes, people have different talents. They have different gifts and abilities. Yes, some people are taller or richer or cuter or whatever, but who made them to differ? Who made them to differ? Did these Pharisees choose to be sons of Abraham? Question number two. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? In other words, you have something that others don't. Okay, then you received that something. You didn't create it. You didn't earn it. Some of John the Baptist's followers came to Jesus one day and said, "Rabbi." They were followers of John, and so they said, "John, people are flocking to the one you preached about, and he's baptizing people." They were jealous on John's behalf. And in meekness and wisdom, John said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from God." Now, folks, there's a man who's not entitled. There's a man who will be willing to eat locusts and honey and wear camel's hair and go to prison and be executed and hear Jesus say, "There's no greater man born among women ever than John the Baptist." John was enlightened, beloved, but so are you. If you're saved today, you know better than to demand what is yours, to live with this false notion that God owes you, that society owes you, that the church owes you, that your parents owe you. No. God's people are far too enlightened to fall prey to Satan's pathetic lie that we're entitled to more than what we have. Bruce Fry and his brother Sammy sing that wonderful song they wrote together, where each verse ends with, "Every day I praise your name, thankful I can serve, and no matter what tomorrow brings, it's better than I deserve." Yes, it's better. Because what we deserve is hell, and anything better than that is better than we deserve. You see the third question to the Corinthians? Look at it again. "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" We've had the painters here all week, and they've been putting plastic sheeting on windows and such, and including way up high by the soffits on this side especially and in the front, and the roofing, and apparently they must have covered up, on Thursday at least, they must have covered up some nests of some crows on Friday. Either their nests or their stash of jewelry that they've stolen through the years. Because yesterday I came out of, these doors were closed up with plastic, and so I came out of Building A all the way around the side on the south side, and all of a sudden a couple of these ravens started assaulting me. And I mean, they were angry. They were getting really close and snapping their wings at me and terrorizing me. It was kind of freaky, and two more showed up. And I had a folder, and I waved my folder at them, and papers went everywhere, which somehow made them angrier, and me. And so I finally walked into Building A over here and shut the door like a Hitchcock movie or something, and I literally looked out the window and said, "No wonder the Bible says you're unclean birds." I think, "Siri, make a reminder, kill all the ravens." And then as I come in here and enter the sanctuary, I remember this Bible verse, because I'm thinking about all that. But it's the Bible verse where Jesus says, consider the ravens which neither have storehouse or barn, and God feedeth them. And then I remembered that God used the ravens to feed Elijah, his servant. And then I was reminded that ravens in the Bible are a picture that all of us are unclean, that all of us are vessels of God's grace. And now I feel bad and I want to apologize to the dumb crows. You see, beloved, it really is amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That second verse says, 'twas grace that taught, there's that enlightenment, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear. We were blind once, but as the song says and as the Bible says, now we see, and because we see, we are too enlightened to be entitled. We know better. Ephesians 5:8, you were sometimes darkness. You were at one time darkness. But now are you children of light. Walk. Walk as children of light. It brings us a third truth in the text. You're too indebted to be entitled. You're too enlightened to be entitled. Number three, we're too enriched to be titled. The word enriched means blessed. It's like adding blessings. You remember what Paul says in the book of Romans, where he opens up in chapter 2 and he says, the goodness of God, the goodness of God, the blessings of God leadeth thee to repentance. That's so true. God's goodness does not lead us to entitlement. Not if you count his blessings. Not if you're aware and grateful. Not if you know how eternal his goodness is. Paul said, our light afflictions, the man was beaten, shipwrecked, robbed, starved. He says it's a light affliction. But he says it because of this. Our light afflictions are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. That's the goodness of God. And if you're saved, you have it. You are too enriched to ever be entitled. A few weeks ago, we were at the DMV, Ben and I, and it's the new one on PGA Boulevard. If you've not been there, it looks like it's beautiful. It's huge. It's like an airport terminal. And I noticed there's a boyfriend and girlfriend sitting together waiting their turn, and she has AirPods in her ears, and so because of that, she's talking really loud. And she's talking loud to some friend on her phone, and at one point she says, not one person has affirmed me today. I had to look over at that. But as I did, her boyfriend looked up, and we locked eyes, and he rolled his eyes. And I thought, good luck, buddy. No one's affirmed you today? Are you entitled to being affirmed every day by someone? I hear you, sister. Solidarity. I mean, look. My phone was at 2% the other day. I had to go to the other bedroom to get my charger. My car has heated seats, but only in the front. I told Alexa to turn off the lights, but she didn't hear me. I had to get up and go turn those lights off. And then I had to complain to the DoorDash guy. He was 7 minutes late with my dinner. He's from Somalia. He didn't understand my pain. This is the America we live in. This is the kind of entitlement that people are growing up under. I was at the Alton Starbucks the other day because they've redone the whole thing. I just kind of wanted to see it, so I went in there. And I sat down with my notes, and a group of students from FAU were there, and they were talking politics. And there were girls, and one of them was complaining about how oppressed she felt in America now. That oppressed? I hardly ever go to that place. But from now on, I'm telling the cashier that my name is Elon. So when they call out the cup name, Elon, everybody looks and explodes. Or Trump, have a chai latte for DeSantis. Bam, bam, bam. oppressed. I've lived my entire life under JFK, LBJ, oh, you're old, Pastor, okay, LBJ, Nixon, Carter, Reagan, Bush, Clinton, Obama, Biden, et cetera, et cetera. My whole life, I have never, ever, ever, no matter who was in charge, felt, quote, oppressed. Now, blessed? Extremely blessed. And so are you. It is an absolute reality this morning that as a believer, you are too enriched to feel entitled. So that again, any Christian who feels or acts entitled chooses to. And you are always, always choosing, therefore, a path of entitlement that brings sorrow and disappointment and darkness and loss. Think not. Think not to say within yourselves that we deserve anything, because anything better than hell is more than we deserve. So that as believers who receive heaven, for all of eternity, how much better can it get than that? When I was a boy, we watched a movie at home called Willy Wonka, and I remember a scene where Grandpa Joe gets mad. Grandpa Joe's a jerk in that movie, by the way, but he gets mad at Wonka for not giving Charlie the prize because Charlie broke the rules. Thanks to Grandpa Joe, by the way, if you know the movie, it's his fault. So after Grandpa goes in and demands that he give Charlie what he's entitled to, Wonka unleashes on him. Remember? You stole. He's spitting when he says it. You stole fizzy lifting drinks and you bumped in the ceiling and now it has to be sanitized and cleaned. So you get nothing. Good day, sir. And of course, entitled Joe yells, you're a crook, you're a cheat, you're a swindler, blah, blah, blah. But then Charlie, contrite and humbled, doesn't demand anything. He knows he doesn't deserve it. He knows that entire affair was one big, great gift from the beginning to the end. And he goes over and he hands back what was not his, and at which time Wonka smiles. And he gives to Charlie everything. All of it. The factory. The inheritance. The future. All of it unearned and unmerited. Judgment is deserved. Grace is unexpected. And then inheritance is given. We are too blessed to ever feel entitled. And God's people said, our heads are bowed, please, and our eyes are closed. There are three groups of people in this room tonight, today. I want to say just a word to all of them before we pray. There are those in this room who are saved by the grace of God, and you know it, and you're grateful for it, you're thankful, and you live that way. You don't feel entitled about anything. You don't get your feelings hurt. You don't get angry at others because you expect something out of them because you're entitled to that. You get angry at God. You don't get angry at God because you didn't get what you thought you should get from a God who's giving you eternity in heaven at the cost of his own son's blood. And those of you who are like that live fruitful lives, joyous lives, helpful, blessed lives. Your testimony is a powerful light in a very dark world. There are a lot of folks in this room just like that and listening by live stream. There are also folks in this room who are like the Corinthians, carnally minded, shallow, selfish, grasping, wanting, prideful, because you still think that you're entitled to something more than what you have. To you, I would say the same thing John the Baptist says in our text. Repent. Stop that. Because you have a much higher plane of living than that. Nobody ever did anything great for God. No missionary ever launched out. No pastor ever started a church. No father or mother ever raised a godly generation who lived a life of entitlement. It doesn't happen. There's a third group here today. And that's the ones in this room who do not know this salvation that John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus came to declare. You might be religious, but so were these Pharisees. In fact, these Pharisees and Sadducees were more religious than you are. I promise you. They fasted. They gave many tithes. They obeyed the strictest part of the Old Testament law. They wore robes and prayed incessantly. As far as religion goes, they got you beat, but they were lost. They were a generation of vipers. And many of them stayed that way because they rejected Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So for that third group in this room, you are not entitled to one square inch of heaven. Yeah, but I'm a good guy. You're not entitled. You're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're in debt. Jesus paid your debt. And before you die, you better make sure you receive Christ. You trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Not in your own sincerity or your own works or your own religion. You better make sure before you die that you accept God's gift. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Worketh, giveth, believeth in him. It's a gift. Should not perish, but have everlasting life.